and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bibles, open with me this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Last Sunday, for our world missions theme and emphasis this year, we began to encourage us, not just to challenge, but to encourage. I think the one thing that we as believers need today is some strong encouragement in the things of God. And the one thing that we began to encourage in last week is that we become far more intentional in the sharing of the gospel, the living of the gospel in our life, evangelistic disciple making. And I hope that this past week you were able to do what we encouraged you to do, and that is to ask God for that one person this year in your immediate circle of influence, someone that you know, someone that you love, someone that you care about, someone that you are associated with, that you've begun to pray for them, to build bridges into their life, to love and to live and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this year, with their prayer being that before the year ends that they too would come to faith in Christ Jesus. We're going to see today that for that to work, it's going to take the power of the gospel. Not your power, not just your words. We will be vessels that God will use, but that God will, through the power of the gospel, change their life. And then we also encourage you to be able to look around and be sensitive every day of that person that maybe you weren't even aware of that needed the gospel, but that God put you there at that moment to be able to share with them the gospel, to plant the seed or to water a seed, or perhaps even to see them come to faith in Christ. As we were praying this week, as you were praying, as I was praying, I had the privilege, the joy of seeing the latter. I had the privilege of seeing an older man who was a non-believer, who had lost his wife, at a funeral, come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just happened to be the one that God would give the opportunity, along with some family members, to be able to share with him and to see him pray a prayer of faith, believing Christ to be who he was, who he is, and to give him life eternal. What a joy that was. I do not think that just happened. I think that I could have very easily, as an individual, had I not prayed that prayer as I have every day since last Sunday, God, make me aware of the people around me. It may very well be this day you're going to put someone in my path who is going to come to faith in Christ, and you may use me, and if so, Lord, use me. And so I had that privilege. I hope that you, some of you, had that same privilege. We need to celebrate that as a church, do we not? We should be able to celebrate every Sunday the fact that somebody in this community of faith was able to share with someone and to see someone come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, in a number this large, if all of us are praying that prayer, believing God by faith, somebody is going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So this series that we began last week on the gospel is a series of encouragement. It's not to reprove, it's not to chastise, it's not to say, even though we know we haven't done well in the past, that's not our purpose is to encourage and to edify one another as children of God, to be able to do more in making our lives not just a picture of the gospel, but our mouths a mouthpiece for God to use to share the good news of the gospel with those around us. This morning, I want to go to Romans chapter 1. Paul was a good example of what I would call a soul winner. And the Bible says that he who winneth souls is wise. God wants us to be actively involved in evangelistic disciple making, sharing the gospel and helping those who come to faith in the gospel grow so that they can help reach the multitudes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul, although being a Jew, was real eager to share with not just the Jewish people, also the Gentiles as well, those outside of his own people. Had a deep desire to go to Rome to share the gospel with those of Rome. And as he writes, I believe in the book, the Romans, he shares his heart for the gospel. And so I want to read, beginning with verse 14, some verses, and then encourage us even more this morning that we might have the heart of a soul winner. And let me just say to you this morning, I have people all the time say to me, you know, I've not been very good at that. I don't have that heart. Pray God give you that heart. Have you prayed, God, I want the heart of a soul winner. I want you to change my heart. I want you to make me more conscious. God, I want you to do it. If the Bible says that if we have not, we can ask. And if we ask, there's a God who liberally wants to give that to us. And what I'm saying is this, if you want to have the heart of a soul winner, God can give you the heart of a soul winner. He can do that in you. He'll work that out in you. And we want to see some of those marks of a soul winner this morning. So as the writer writes here, he says in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My prayer this morning is that God would take his word, that it would fall upon our hearts that are fertile, that are waiting for that seed of the word to find root in our hearts. And then from that seed falling upon our hearts, that we would grow to become more the person that God wants us to be, and that is a soul winner for the work of the kingdom. I want to look at four characteristics of soul winners that are here. And you're going to probably say, I don't quite have that, but I want that. And I just want to encourage you again, if this is what your heart desires, God can give it to you if you will make yourself available to him and seek for that to happen. Paul mentioned several things here, and I just want to point them out to me. Okay, you get the recipient of it, but this is for me, and I hope for you as well. Paul says there are four things that the heart of a soul winner sort of embraces, that they understand. And the first one is this. There is an obligation both to God, but also to those that we come in contact with every day. He says, I'm debtor. I owe a debt. Now, it's easy for us, and we do this often. As believers, do we not often say to God, God, I thank you for paying my debt. I thank you, God, that you were the one that went to the cross. And we're indebted to God. And we talk about that often, that we owe God a debt for what he has done for us. We owe it to him. He has given his son for us. And we recognize that we're in debt to God. Although God doesn't look at it that way, we do. We see that God has done so much for us, and we gather even to worship him for that purpose. That's the reason we've gathered, is because of what he's done in our lives. He's erased our debt. He's canceled our sin. He's made us children of his by his son's blood on the cross and the power of the resurrection. And we gather and we lift up his name because we feel as though we are indebted to him. But Paul goes further than that. Paul says, I'm also indebted to those who've not yet heard the gospel. Those who've not yet responded to the gospel. Now, I have to be careful with this because I have a tendency, because of the country in which I live, the United States of America, where everybody seems to have a Bible, or at least has access to a Bible. Everybody can go on the internet and read and see the Word of God, and people hear preachers all the time. It's easy for me to say, well, they've already heard. Doesn't matter. I'm still obligated, if God gives me an opportunity, to share with them again. I'm indebted to them. And by the way, when Paul said he was indebted both to the Greek and the barbarian, when he talked about the wise, the unwise, the Jew, the Greek, all of those people, he was just saying, I must never, ever, ever forget what Christ has done for me. And really, when we have a heart that understands that we're indebted, that we have an obligation. Did you know that obligation is directly tied to heart of gratitude? Now, I don't want you to forget this today. I want you to realize this today. I think sometimes we forget, were it not for Jesus, we'd be on our way to hell today, folks. You say, Pastor, people don't talk about hell anymore. Well, we ought to. Because the truth is this. Had Christ not come and died on a cross and been buried and rose again, all of us would be on a one-way road headed to eternal destruction because of man's sin. But here's the good news. God has rescued us. Amen? God, by His great grace, reached down. I don't know when you realized the goodness and the grace of God that came to you and where you exercised faith in you. I don't know when that took place in your life. I know when it took place in my life. And it has forever changed me. And I've forever been grateful for that. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear eternity. I'm grateful to a God that loved me enough that He would rescue me from that, and I forever am grateful to Him for that. If He can do that for me, it ought to also cause me to want those around me to find that same salvation. Amen? And to know that just like Christ came to me, He can use me to take the gospel to somebody else. I don't know who God used in your life to bring the gospel to you. He used an old preacher in my life and a deacon to bring the gospel to me. And I'm going to be the next chain, link in the chain perhaps, or the next person. You see, we're indebted to those around us. We've received the grace of God. Because of that, we're grateful for it. God has been good to us, better than good. He's rescued us from sin. And when we've tasted of the grace of God, we're obligated to tell others about it. How many of you are already thinking about lunch? Don't lie. Don't lie to me. Since you sat down, you started thinking about where you're going to eat lunch later. I know. You're just like me. Nothing wrong with that. We have an appetite, do we not? We have an appetite, and human appetite. We ought to have a spiritual appetite, too. A few months ago, actually, it's been several months ago now, one of our groups here at the church, our sis group, ladies group, gave me and Miss Carrie a gift certificate. And it was to a restaurant in Toledo. I'd never heard of it before. Never, ever heard of it before. And I thought, oh my, I read the name and I thought, this doesn't sound like American food. And I thought, we'll go. I'm probably not going to like it. So Miss Carrie and I went. Can I tell you, it was amazingly wonderful. It was one of the, matter of fact, I'll say this, perhaps the best restaurant I'd been to in a long, long, long time. And they'd given us a gift certificate. Well, we sat down and we began to eat our food. We liked the restaurant. We liked the atmosphere. We began to eat our food, and it was so good. It was so good. I began to think to myself, I sure am grateful for the sis group, because they blessed me and Carrie with this gift certificate. They gave it to us, and now we're enjoying it. Before we got ready to pay, we said, you know what? Let's not use our gift certificate. Let's just go ahead and pay, because there are some folks we want to bring so that they can experience this with us. And so we began to think about who we were going to bring with us, and recently we took a couple of our friends there. What changed my attitude about that? The goodness and the grace that I found from the sis group and the food that I ate. You know what I tell people? You want a good meal? See me after church. I can tell you where to go get one. You know why? I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the sis group. Have you ever had a good meal? By the way, the younger generation thinks everything has to be modern and updated. The best definition I've ever found of evangelistic disciple making is this: one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. I know where the good restaurants are, don't you? We're indebted to tell people. We're indebted to share the story. We have an obligation. Paul could not get away from his obligation. Now, some of you this morning, and some who will hear this, we think we have an option. We don't have to share. We're obligated to share, folks. We're obligated to share. Secondly, there's not only an obligation, there's a compulsion. We feel compelled to share. I love verse 15. For as much as is in me, I am ready. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to share the gospel. I'm eager to share. I can't wait to share. I'm longing for opportunities to share the gospel. People who love what God has done in their life are looking for those opportunities to share. Now listen, we don't always get those opportunities every day. We don't always have those opportunities every day. We look for them, but we don't always have them. But we always have our antennas up. We always have our radar screens available. We're always waiting for that opportunity to arise. That's why we ought to pray. That's why I encourage you, young people, when you go to school, you ought to be praying. God, is there somebody in my school you're going to put in my path today that needs to hear the gospel? I don't know what's going on in their life. As adults, when we go to work or whatever we do, we ought to have our attention span drawn to the fact that we're waiting. We're just waiting. We're ready. Paul had not made it to Rome yet, but he was ready when he got there. He said, I'm ready to share with you. I'm ready to share the gospel. I can't wait to talk to you about the gospel. We need to, each of us, come back to that point of waking up every day saying, God, today is today a day you're going to give me an opportunity. If so, God, I am ready to share. What excites you the most in your life? Don't talk out loud, but what excites you the most? What are you always ready to share with the people around you? Any grandparents in the house? Anybody got any pictures of grandkids on your phone? Yeah, okay, you got some pictures of that new grandbaby? Oh, yeah. I bet it doesn't take a whole... No, I can't see them now, okay? Can't see them now. It doesn't take a lot. I'm telling you, you can find out real quick what people are ready to talk about. I tell you what they're not ready to talk about in today's world is politics. I'm glad of that. Are you tired of that mess? Are you as tired as I am of this mess that our country's in? Can I tell you what can change that? Talking more about Jesus. Talking more about Jesus. Talking about Him. Sharing the story of the gospel. Being ready. You want to shake somebody? When they start talking about Democrats and Republicans, they say, I don't know a lot about that, but can I tell you about something I do know? I know about Jesus. Y'all are really quiet. Really quiet. Really quiet. Have we come to the point now where even the mention of that word divides it? We ought to be ready to tell people about Jesus, folks. Hey, listen, don't need CNN, ABC, NBC to tell you this. Nobody can fix this world's problems. There's not a government that can do it. Hello? There's not a president or Congress can fix the world's problems. You see, we believe they can. No, no. The fixer of the world problems is Jesus. And He does it one heart at a time, one life at a time, one person at a time. And I need to be ready to tell people more about Jesus. If half of us in this room talked as much about Jesus as we did the mess that we're in, more people would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some people don't like that, but guess what? It's still the truth. Amen? It's still the truth. We need to be ready to talk about Jesus. Paul was ready. He says, I am ready. There was a readiness. He was always on the lookout to tell someone about Jesus. And then thirdly, there was a boldness. Now, when I mentioned boldness, when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that boldness was not an arrogance. We should not be arrogant ever with the gospel. Christ was the most humble servant that ever walked, and that's why He was the God-man. That's why He was a suffering. Matt read it this morning. When you read Isaiah this morning, His humility. And as children of God that have been graced with the gift of Christ in our lives and we've come to faith in Him, we need a boldness, but it needs to be a humble boldness. One that is grounded in humility. But one that is not ashamed. The number one fear to the gospel, or the number one enemy of the gospel is fear. The number one enemy of the gospel is fear. If I were to start in this building this morning, the one thing that we would say, if we were honest, is the thing that keeps us from sharing is our fear. We're afraid someone's going to not like what we say. We're afraid someone's going to turn us away. We're afraid someone's going to cuss us out. We're afraid someone's going to tell us where we can go. We're afraid of rejection. Fear, fear, fear. Fear is the enemy of the gospel. Paul has faced it all. He'd been in prison. As a matter of fact, he was headed to Rome. Paul had been beaten, left for dead, kicked out, run out of the cities. Everything that could happen had happened to Paul. And yet, he writes these words, "But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. With everything that's happened to me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel." We do not need an arrogant boldness. We need a boldness that is humble, one that is filled with humility. Now, I want to be totally honest with us today. Paul said the soul winner is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. You see, we're preaching, we're sharing, and we're talking to people about the gospel of Christ. Unfortunately, in today's world, especially in the United States of America, there are many people who are sharing the gospel, but it's not the gospel of Christ. They're sharing their gospel, their version of the gospel. Folks, I won't call names, but when you listen to someone preaching a gospel that's not the gospel of Christ, if it doesn't work around the world, it's not the gospel. Health, wealth, and prosperity doesn't work in most countries. Follow Jesus and you're going to have everything. That's a lie. It's hogwash. That's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ says he suffered so that we could have life. Doesn't mean we won't suffer. Doesn't mean we're going to have every day is a good day. Doesn't mean that this is our best year. Guess what? Every day is our best day because of Jesus. That's the only reason. Because of him, no matter what our circumstances is. There are too many people preaching other gospels. Paul said, "I'm preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ." Matt read it this morning. We sang it this morning. We sang about the gospel that points to a cross. We sang about the gospel that points to a Savior. We share about a gospel that tells men and women that they are sinners, born in sin, that the only hope is Christ. We tell people that their sin has separated them from God, that without Jesus they are hopeless. That gospel, listen to me, you need to hear this, that gospel is an offensive gospel. It's always been an offensive gospel to the lost man. If you expect a lost man or lost woman to hear the gospel and to say to you when they hear the gospel for the first time or maybe many times, that they're excited about that, they're not. Here's why. The gospel is offensive when you tell a man that his sin has taken him out of the presence of God and he will never be with God again unless he repents of that sin. That's an offensive gospel. Agreed? When we tell people that their sin is evil, that men are wicked, that's an offensive gospel. And especially in our world today, as a matter of fact, I would say in our world today, it's more popular or more unpopular to be a Christian than to be anything. Anything. Christianity in our country is being ridiculed and criticized at every measure. But we can't be ashamed of the gospel just because of that. No. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. We need a bold humility to be able to point people to Christ. We need a boldness that tells them that, yes, that may seem unpopular. And I love the quote from Jeffrey Wilson, and I want to end this point with this quote. It's in the notes if they're both welcome centers. Listen to this. This fits so well our world today, especially in our country. "The unpopularity of a crucified Christ has prompted many to present a message which is more palatable to the unbeliever. Seeker-friendly. Only certain messages. Don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about sin. Don't tell people their sin is offensive. Don't tell people." I had a conversation recently where a person was totally offended at me and the gospel. Not me personally, just the fact that I was a follower of Jesus. And for hours and hours, we talked and the offense was great. How dare? What makes you think? And all I could say is, the only thing that makes me think is what I know. The love of God has come into my heart and changed my life. That's just because you read it somewhere. No, I didn't have a Bible when I got saved. All I knew was the love of God had come to me. God had changed my life forever. We can't try to make the gospel palatable to everybody. It won't be. It won't be. Folks, listen, I would say it again. I hope every time a preacher preaches from this pulpit, if there's a lost man or lost woman here and they hear the gospel, that they are offended at the fact that their sin has separated them from God, but they know the truth, and God will take that offense of the cross if they will listen to the word of God. He'll take the love of God and the Spirit of God and breathe truth into their life, because the devil has them blinded. I'm blinded. If you're here without Jesus today, I want you to know you're not good. Neither am I. But I've been saved by the grace of God. You're on your way to hell. So was I. But God rescued me. The person sitting next to you, the only thing that will keep them out of hell, the only thing that's given them a relationship with God is the grace of God. And without Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope. It's not something that we can present that's palatable to every unbeliever or to the unbeliever. But notice this. The removal of the offense of the cross always rendered the message ineffective. An inoffensive gospel is an inoperative gospel. Say amen to that. An inoffensive gospel is an inoperative gospel. That's why when you hear somebody, listen to me, that only talks about the love of God, they're not preaching the gospel. Amen? The gospel is more than the love of God. There's also the judgment of a righteous God. The gospel contains both. Yes, God is love, but God is a just God. And just because he loves us doesn't mean he's going to let us in his heaven unless we repent of the sin that separated us from him. That's offensive to some. That offends people. How dare you tell me that? I didn't. That's what the God who sent his son said. That's what the God who allowed his son to die on a cross for our sins said. The gospel is an offense to those who've not received it. And we need a boldness to be able to stand in the midst of that, to tell people with humility, listen, when people tell me the things that they say about the gospel, about Christianity, with a smile on my face, not a smirk, but a smile on my face, I say to them, I know you don't believe it, but I do. And one day in eternity, one of us or both of us are going to know the truth. Both of us are going to know the truth. And you have the choice to believe what you wish to believe. I think I'm going to stand with the gospel. Because in the end, listen, if I'm wrong, you've heard it said, I haven't lost a thing. Haven't missed a thing. You say, oh, you missed a lot of fun. Then you don't know my life. I have a lot of fun. Oh, no, you've lived a boring life. Then you don't know my life. I've not had a boring life. My walk with Jesus has led me to places I would have never been before, given me joy I would have never had before. If heaven's not for real, although I believe it is, I've lost nothing. But if you're here, or if you're listening, and it is real, and you reject it, you've lost everything. As well as your soul that will be condemned, not by God, but by you. He that believeth not is already condemned. He will simply place judgment upon that one day, and you'll spend eternity. You say, well, that doesn't really matter. I won't know. Again, you believe the lies. Just pick up a word and begin to read the word of God. The gospel, we need boldness to share it, especially in today's world, we need the gospel to share it. And lastly, not only was Paul feeling obligated and compelled, not only did he have a boldness, he was not ashamed. He had a confidence, a confidence. He believed that the power of God was salvation to all who believed, to the Jew, to the Greek, the wise, the unwise, the barbarian. The gospel is the power of God. You see, here's the difference. My words don't mean anything. They're just words coming. I could be talking to you about a lot of things. You could talk to me about a lot of things. We have conversations every day with people. It's not the power of my words. It's the power of his word that I've spoken. You see, the gospel is powerful. That word, you already know it. The word for power is the word for dynamite, for dunamis. Something that changes things. God's gospel has the power to change. Don't underestimate the power of the gospel. Please do not. Don't think that your husband is so lost he'll never be saved. Somebody probably thought that about you too. Don't think that that person who you see as the most wicked person in the world is beyond the reach of God. The gospel has the power to change his life or her life. Don't ever forget that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not to everyone, but to everyone who believes. That's why it's important that we share it. We share it in the hopes and the prayers that those who hear it will receive it. And to everyone who believes, it's the power of God unto salvation. And I have believed it. Have you? Have you believed the gospel? I hope you have. If you haven't, my prayer is that you will, because the power of the gospel is our confidence. I'm confident. Listen, again, I'm confident. I'm confident that my God is able to do what he promised he would do. Any sinner can be saved. Every sinner can be saved if they believe in the gospel. There's not anyone beyond the reach. And so at work, you already know who that person is, that difficult one, the one that you know you just really don't even want to talk to about the gospel. Don't forget, there's power in the gospel of Jesus. You can share the gospel with them. Just share the simple gospel with them. The person that you think won't receive it, don't be shocked if they do and when they do. There's power in the gospel, not in you, but in the gospel. So let's continue to tell people what Christ has done in us. Let's be grateful. Let's be ready. Let's share. Let's share with humility, with boldness this year, 2019. And my prayer for you is the same prayer I pray for me every day. God, that one person that you've put in my life, that you've put in that person's life, I pray this year will be the year that that person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. As we share, as we live, as we share the love of Jesus with them and point them to Christ. And God, help me every day, even today. Most of you are going to a restaurant when you leave here, most of you. There are going to be lost people in that restaurant. God may point you to one of those. You may have an opportunity. Just keep your radar on. Keep your antenna up. Be sensitive. Let God's Spirit work. It may just be to water a seed or plant a seed, but keep it there. And if we do, we can be confident that the gospel has the power to change people's lives.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.